friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Pelé, the Brazilian football great who's celebrating his 78th birthday on this Tuesday. Our Voice of America football fans will remember Pelé is the only player in history to lift the World Cup trophy three times. And if you go to the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, the address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see a black and white photo of a teenage Pelé getting his hands on the World Cup trophy for the first time back in 1958. Pelé would lift the trophy again in 1962 and in 1970. Joining us now with more about the Brazilian legend is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In honor of Pelé's birthday, it might be good to start at the beginning and the origins of his nickname. In 2015, he explained his classmates called him Pelé because he couldn't pronounce the word Pele, which in Portuguese means skin.
I fight in college with the kids because, no, my name is Edson, they call me Pelé. I got 2 days suspended in the school. Then everybody in school, all the kids start calling Pelé. I hate that time. Today I love, of course. Now I love because, I don't know, God gave it to me. Short name, easy to pronounce it, any language you can remember, Pelé. Because my name is Edson Arantes do Nascimento. It's hard to remember, no? And then today I love Pelé.
And fans around the world love Pelé too and widely regard him as the greatest soccer player in the history of the sport. And according to Pelé, his passion for the sport was sparked in 1950 when he witnessed his father's reaction following the World Cup final.
There was a big party, no fires, a big party. I was in the street, don't play the ball. Then was calm, silence. I come through my house and what happened? My father said, he was crying, oh, Brazil lost the World Cup. Brazil lost it. I don't know what to do. I said, don't worry, I'm going to win one World Cup for you. Well, then I went to, I swear, I said this. I was 9 years old. God was good for me. He gave me 3 World Cups.
And Pelé is the only player to win 3 World Cups. He scored 1,281 league goals, more than any other player. He was voted World Player and Athlete of the 20th Century. And in 2014, he was awarded the first ever FIFA Ballon d'Or for his enormous contribution to world football. 2 years later, Pelé received the Olympics' highest honor. Also that year, the film Pelé, Birth of a Legend made its world premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York. Pelé spoke at the film's opening and said he hopes his life will serve as an inspiration for the next generation.
I said about my career, about my life, you know, about the example. I think the beautiful, the opportunity you gave is not to show the World Cup, the Pelé champion 3 times, Pelé the best score, more than 1,000 goals. But this, people know this. But what are we gonna pass to the youngest, to the new generation, is how to behave to be there. That is very important to me, and I thank God to give him this opportunity to pass to the kids.
And when Pelé reflected on his life, he said the most poignant lesson came not from the sport, but from his father.
My father used to tell me, listen, you play football because it was a gift of God. This was a gift of God. You didn't do anything to get this. But if you be prepare yourself, if you respect people, If you never think you are the best, because if you think you are the best, you're going to lose on your position. Then you're going to be one excellent player. Never think you are the best. Always you must work to prepare yourself to be better and better and better.
Well, he obviously took his father's advice to heart. Earlier this year, Pelé was voted the greatest player in the history of the beautiful game. Former English footballer Sir Bobby Charlton summed up Pelé's greatness this way: "I sometimes feel as though football was invented for this magical player." Happy 78th birthday to soccer legend Pelé. Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, with the nice birthday tribute for the Brazilian legend Pelé. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Gabon's 2015 African Footballer of the Year, who came off the bench to score two quick-fire goals for Arsenal in their 3-1 victory Monday against visiting Leicester City. Aubameyang was on the pitch for only 2 minutes when he scored his first goal in the 63rd minute, and he sealed the win 3 minutes later with another close-range finish. Final score from London: the Gunners of Arsenal 3, the Foxes of Leicester 1. Arsenal moved into fourth place in the English Premier League standings, level on points with third-place Chelsea. Each team has 21 points from 9 matches. Defending champion Manchester City is in first place with 23 points. Liverpool is in second place with 23 points, but is below Man City on the table because of goal difference. In African club football, Kano Pillars will play Rangers International of Enugu Wednesday in the final of Nigeria's elite Iteo Cup, formerly the Federation Cup. The winner of the match will represent Nigeria in next year's CAF Confederation Cup tournament. The game will be played in Asaba at Stephen Keshi Stadium, named after Nigeria's former captain and coach, who died in 2016 at the age of 54. Patrick Uka is the commissioner for information in Delta State, Nigeria. In an interview with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Asaba, he talked about the reasons for naming the stadium after Stephen Keshi.
Well, the government of Senator Dr. Ifeanyi Okowa, who is at the helm of affairs today, believes that those who have served the state, those who have given very good name and good image, not only to Nigeria, but Delta State in particular, in one way or the other, will not only show an appreciation, but there's need, when they have passed on, to be immortalized. And I think the governor did not search for too long when he decided and he named Stephen Keshi Stadium, named it after late Stephen Keshi. Yours truly, I happen to be a cousin of Stephen Keshi. And as a cousin of Stephen Keshi, I believe that the nation did not do anything to immortalize Stephen Keshi. But who again, is only from your home that you can become good. Our governor has done it for this nation. He has named a very modern stadium after him. One need not to ask why they are doing it for Stephen Keshi. Stephen Keshi deserves it. Most professional football has its offshoot from Stephen Keshi. Stephen Keshi did not only play in the school days. Stephen Keshi played for the nation. Stephen Keshi is a worldwide name. He coached Nigeria. He won the Nation Cup. Needless to mention it, he deserves all we have done to immortalize him. I wouldn't say rewarding him. It's to immortalize him. And at the time he named it, you need to know what is the state of that stadium. And I know a lot of people worried and say, why would they name that kind of stadium? There's nothing about the stadium. But our governor that I know, Ekwueme, that I know he has his plans. So we're not shocked when he accepted that we will host the African Games. And we're not shocked what the Stephen Keshi Stadium has turned out to be today, which is the best that you can think of. You know, when you talk about that stadium, you are not thinking of the kind of equipment that we have there, the type of facility that is in that stadium. You are looking at the stadium and you're looking at the facility, but you are not looking at the equipment that is in there, apart from the tartan track, apart from the field that you have, which is about the best in terms of national turf in the country. You are not talking about the equipment. When I mean the equipment, you are talking of athletics equipment, you are talking of football equipment, name it, all of them are world class. clubs that can hold any big game.
Apart from the African Senior Athletics Championship, which Delta State successfully hosted, more than 50 African countries took part. I was here and I covered it. Do you have plans to attract more national and international events to the Stephen Keshi Stadium in Asaba?
Well, I know my friend, the executive chairman of the Sports Commission, would have been in a better position. But because I'm speaking for the state, I must tell you that the focus is not only about attracting other international competitions. You know, a child that is brilliant attracts every type of good thing for the brilliancy. We have produced a stadium that is a world standard stadium. I believe that CAF, I believe that International Athletics Federation, I believe that all the federations that have things to do, they will look first in asking Delta, would you want to take it? So I believe that attraction will come on its own. But most importantly for us is that with the young talents that we are building, we need not to carry them outside this country to expose them to modern tech facilities. We don't need that because it will cost us more to take them out. When you begin to talk of exposure for participating in games, yes, we'll come to that. But now these children that I'm talking to you about, that we're bringing up all the time, we now have an opportunity to participate in the international environment that we expect to see when they go for world beaters. So first, that is one priority. The other priority is that those things will come.
A major challenge with similar stadium in Nigeria is maintenance. What plans, what efforts do you have to keep that stadium world standard the way it is?
First and foremost, most of the experts that came in to install most of the equipment we have there and those who built most of the facilities there, part of the package is that they are going to train our people. So when they train our people, the people they train will also train some more people. So they all have what it takes to run and maintain the stadium. But I must tell you that the governor keep pointing at that. I know that if you don't do your bit, we know what to receive from the kind of governor we have. So I can assure you that stadium, day in, day out, month after month, years after years, we will keep the stadium in the standard that it is.
That's Patrick Uka, the Commissioner for Information in Delta State, Nigeria. And Patrick spoke with reporter Iron Mike Imbonye in Delta State's capital, Asaba. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The energetic Andy Edwards is packing his bags for Germany and coverage of Sunday's BMW Frankfurt Marathon. Energetic Andy also traveled last month to Germany, where he witnessed history at the BMW Berlin Marathon. Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge became the new marathon world record holder with a time of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds. Eliud broke the previous record by 1 minute and 18 seconds, the greatest improvement since way back in 1967. The website letsrun.com tried to put Kipchoge's world record in perspective, writing, "It was a performance so far superior to anything we've seen before that comparing it to another marathon feels inadequate." For his part, energetic Andy Edwards compared it to the late American astronaut Neil Armstrong becoming the first man to walk on the moon in 1969. Interstellar stuff! Energetic Andy caught up with Eliud Kipchoge the day after his record-breaking run in Berlin. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, Kipchoge looks back on his achievement.
I feel good. I tried to reflect and I could see how things will happen. I tried to go to watch the few last kilometers of the race. And
is it too soon for you to be thinking, and of course with your coach Patrick saying, well, there's room for improvement on that 2:01:39?
It is too hard to do that because it was only some few hours since I ran the fastest time, and I don't think it's good to think about it. The core thing now is to make sure I recover fully, yes.
I was very struck at the end of the press conference after the race. You made very strongly a point about you felt part of a community. I think you said something like, you know, in Kenya we are in a community, I'm part of a community, and you went on to thank Coach Patrick Sang, but the runners you train with and everybody. And looking at your Twitter feed, you go into great detail about you feel part of this. And also you said that in terms of future plans, you're going to discuss this with all those in the community. Is that right in what I understood?
Yes, it's right. In sport, you need to have a good team. That's why I'm going with a discussion about when I'm going to run. Is I'm going to have a full discussion with the management, with the sponsor, with the technical team, or that's the coaching team. That's part of the team whereby they really hold me in their hands.
Has it taken you time to bring that team together, you and Patrick Sangsay? Because you've been a long-term partnership, you and Patrick, but to assemble a team that meets all your needs, because you talk about recovery and preparation as well.
It's not a one-day event. Of course, to get a good team and a positive team, it takes ages, but I'm lucky, and we are lucky as a global sports community to be helping people who are really thinking in a positive way. And we have come a long way. That's why we're helping our teammates, that whereby we're training together and we try to think together. We have a coaching system, we have management system, we have sponsorship systems, and above all, we have the medical system whereby they handle us with massage and everything.
You are the Olympic marathon champion. Tokyo 2020 is getting closer every day. It's in your thoughts. To prepare for a championship marathon, do you prepare any differently compared to the big city races where, okay, there are pacemakers and time is a big factor in terms of success, but championship race, Olympics above all, it's all about the gold medal, isn't it?
It's actually about gold medal, but preparation is the same. That's why you should be comfortable either with the pacemakers or without the pacemakers. And the preparation, I can say, is the same.
Is that your ultimate ambition, to win again at the Olympic Marathon Tokyo 2020?
Yes, although still far, but it's at the back of my mind that I will really assemble myself in Tokyo.
And before the Olympics, next year is World Championship year in Doha. At this time, do you have any thoughts about running the next year's World Championship Marathon?
No, I don't have any plan for now, but it's by the way that Olympics, because I'm still an Olympic champion, that I feel like defending the title. But with the next marathon and World Championships, I have not that plan. It's still highly for me to really say I'm going to do this and this. It can work.
I think everybody who was lucky enough to be here was privileged to see that achievement. It was quite stupendous. We just watch and are eager to see where you next run and what you can next run. Eliud Kipchoge, the world marathon record holder and Olympic champion, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya, the new world record holder in the marathon. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
Major League Baseball's 114th World Series begins later Tuesday night when the Boston Red Sox host the Los Angeles Dodgers in Game 1 of the Best of 7 Championship Series. The AP's Ed Donahue has this preview from Boston.
The Dodgers were in the World Series last year. Game 1 starter Clayton Kershaw wants a different outcome this year after losing to the Houston Astros.
We're very fortunate to be on a great team, but we're still missing that ring.
Yasiel Puig, Jock Peterson, and other Dodgers are going into uncharted territory.
I never played here, never been in Boston before.
They are talking about Fenway Park's 37-foot wall.
The Green Monster.
Boston's Game 1 starter is Chris Sale. He had to be hospitalized last week for what he says was an infection from his belly ring. He's ready to go.
You hand me the ball when you want me to throw it, and you take it out of my hand when you want me to stop.
The last time these two teams met in a World Series was 1916. The Red Sox defeated the Brooklyn Robins. I'm Ed Donahue.
Thanks, Ed. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh had this message for Red Sox fans ahead of Game 1 of baseball's World Series.
Have fun, cheer and celebrate, be passionate Boston sports fans, but be responsible. Let's not put a cloud over a great memory here in our city, what's going to be happening over the next 7 to 10 days.
The Red Sox are aiming for their 9th World Series title with their last championship in 2013. The Dodgers, meanwhile, have won 6 World Series titles with their last championship in 1988.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association news, superstar LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers remain winless after 3 games. LeBron and the Lakers lost in overtime Monday night to the visiting San Antonio Spurs. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles, California.
In overtime, the Spurs knocked off LeBron James and the Lakers 143-142. Patty Mills drained the deciding jump shot with 7 seconds remaining. LaMarcus Aldridge scored 37 points to lead San Antonio.
It's always fun to play close games and to, you know, have it be that type of atmosphere and overly competitive. So it was fun for us, and it was nice to to get a close win. It just builds character and it just makes guys be more confident.
James tied the score with a 3 near the end of regulation time, but he missed a pair of critical free throws late in the OT and then a final shot attempt that missed as the buzzer sounded. Kyle Kuzma netted 37 to lead the Lakers.
We just got to get over the hump. It'll be a breath of fresh air once we get our first win. So, everything's a little bit tense. You never want to lose, but, we're right there.
Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, in Boston, the venue for tonight's World Series Baseball Game 1, a big NBA center from Montenegro has helped the Orlando Magic to a victory over the Boston Celtics. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Boston, Massachusetts.
Nikola Vucevic and the Magic held on to pull off an early season upset with a 93-90 win over the Celtics. Vucevic followed up his second career triple-double in Friday's loss to Philadelphia with a strong performance Monday, totaling 24 points and 12 rebounds.
In Philly, I was able to make a lot of passes tonight. It was more kind of scoring, getting the ball deep and putting pressure on their defense. So just play off, what the defense gives me.
Jonathan Isaac added 18 points and 12 boards as the Magic snapped a 2-game skid.
It shows us what we are capable of as a team when we play together, when we're focused, and when everybody's on the same accord. So for me, I say it just continues to let me know that I'm okay and that I'm going to continue to get better. I'm going to continue to work hard and continue to progress.
Kyrie Irving paced the Celtics with 22 points and Al Horford added 15. Gordon Hayward missed a 3-pointer at the buzzer that would have sent the game to overtime. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more NBA results Monday night, the unbeaten Toronto Raptors became the first team to reach 4 victories, beating the visiting Charlotte Hornets 127-106. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 31 points and 15 rebounds to help lead the Milwaukee Bucks to a 124-113 victory over the visiting New York Knicks. The Bucks have opened the NBA season with 3 consecutive victories. Elsewhere, the host Minnesota Timberwolves topped the Indiana Pacers 101-91. The Dallas Mavericks also won at home, beating the Chicago Bulls 115-109. The Memphis Grizzlies scored a 92-84 road victory over the Utah Jazz. The defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors won at home, defeating the Phoenix Suns 123-103. And last, but certainly not least, my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, waved their wands and won their very first game of the season, edging the host Toronto, the Portland Trail Blazers, 125-124 in overtime. Wave those wands, Wizards! And that wraps up the October 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, I'm Lienor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will take a look at health systems with our guest, Dr. Margaret Crook, Associate Professor of Global Health at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Ha! Huh. I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical jam. I guarantee it.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.